one grim costume after another as he rustles and trickles and cusses his way between trees. He walks a few paces as an engineer in a day-glow vest. He takes a step in a dinner suit. Then an Anderson shelter. Then a tracksuit. Then a rusted Jeep bonnet. Then a leather skirt. But nothing works. He pauses as an exhaust pipe, then squirms into the shape of a rabbit snare, then a piston nettle into pink strangled lamb. He plucks a blackbird from the sky and cracks open the yellow beak. He peers into the ripped face as if it was a clean pond. He flings the bird across the forest stage, stands up, woodlot, bare, bushy, and stamps his spalted feet. His body is a suit of bark armor with the initials of long-dead teenage lovers carved in the surface. He clomps through the wood, wide awake and hungry for his listening. Only one thing can cheer up Crotchety Toothwort, and that's his listening. He slides across the land at precisely the speed of dusk and arrives at his favorite spot. The village sits up pretty to greet him, sponged in half-light. He climbs into the kissing gate. He is invisible and patient and about the size of a flea. He sits still. He listens. Here it is.
Seedling.
Human sound. Tethered to his interest, dragged across the field, sucked into his great need.
Private property.
Honeycomb.
Gorgeous.
Shampoo in my eyes.
Windfalls.
A lovely time of day.
Press pause.
No sign of Dad.
Stinks in there.
Tilt your glass.
Now it is around him. He reaches in and delicately pulls out threads. A conductor, coaxing sound out of an orchestra.
Plant in stock.
Bin it, then.
Expertly, unhurried, like time, slowly acting death upon an organism, little by little, listening. He hears his village turning itself over towards its bedtime.
Much higher wattage.
Brilliant dreams.
Fan belt squeal.
Piss off, Alan. Clean forgot milk.
Talking to old Peggy.
Every last mouthful.
Weird time to be alive.
How are your knees?
It's an astroturf burn, not cancer. Autumn's a bruise.